know, in the world we live in today, it seems like everybody is angry about everything. In fact, I think there's a lot of people in the world today, they just wake up in the morning and they'll jump on the news or they'll jump on social media. And when I say news, it'll be news that, you know, one of the news broadcasts that fits their particular political persuasion or culture or whatever, they'll jump on there and they'll see what it is that they need to be offended by today, what it is that they need to be angry about today. And so everybody seems to be angry about everything. And those, that anger goes across many lines. It goes across political lines, cultural lines, social lines. Everybody is angry about something. And when we look at that, we really understand that as believers in Christ, we need to understand that God has not called us to live in that kind of perpetual anger all the time. But he's called us to forsake anger and cease from our anger and our wrath and really put our trust in him. And that's really what I want to talk about today in context of the Unshaken series. So we've been talking about this living a life over the last few weeks, living a life that is unshaken in our faith. And what I really want to get to today is that if we're living perpetually angry and offended at things and people, then we're not going to be able to live the unshaken life that God has called us to live. So we're going to talk about that anger today, and we're going to talk about how to deal with that. And I believe today's message is going to help you. But we're going to begin today by giving you my bottom line that's been the bottom line for this entire series. If you forget everything else I say, just remember this, that a life surrendered is a life unshaken. A life surrendered is a life unshaken. And to the extent that we can surrender our lives to God and we can trust him with our lives, we will be able to live a life that is unshaken in our faith, and we'll be able to walk in the purpose and the plan that he's created for us to live in. So let's jump right in today and let's talk about that. We've been keying in on Psalm chapter 37 for this series, and we're talking about a lot of different aspects of this unshaken life. And today I really want to key in on verses 8 and 9, Psalm 37 verse 8 and 9. And it says this, it says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And so what I want to begin with today is my first point. Point number one is this: we need to cease from anger. Cease from anger. Now, I understand, I can hear some people saying, well, there's a righteous anger, Tom. I'm upset about the things that, well, there is a righteous anger, and I understand that. You know, when Jesus went into the tabernacle, the temple, and he fashioned a whip and he ran out the money changers because they were defiling his father's house, there was a righteous anger there. As we look through the scriptures and the writings of these men who wrote the scriptures, we see that there is a righteous anger at many things, but that's not what I'm talking about today. The anger I'm talking about today is the fret, is the anger, is the offense, is the bitterness that comes up maybe in our relationship with God, maybe in our relationship with our husband, our wife, our kids, our coworkers, the people around us. It's the kind of anger that is rampant in our world today. And that kind of anger is very destructive, and it's not going to lead us to anywhere good. And so we need to cease from that kind of anger. And so when we look at Psalm 37, it says, cease from that anger. And I want to look at that word cease here in a moment, and it'll give us some insight into what that means. But I also want to give you the context again, as I have several times throughout the series, of what Psalm 37 is about. Psalm 37, the psalmist is writing, and the nutshell of it is that it seems like the wicked are prospering while the righteous are struggling. And so when we look around, and as the psalmist dealt with this, we can deal with this in our world today. It seems like maybe at times those who aren't doing the things that they should be doing seem to be getting by, and maybe they're the ones with the money and the popularity and the fame and all those things. And the ones that are trying to live a righteous life, they're trying to live for God, it seems like you're just struggling along, trying to make it, trying to do the next right thing. And it just doesn't seem to be working out for you at times. And there can be an anger and a bitterness that begins to rise up in us because of that. So that's the context of Psalm 37. And he says we need to cease from the anger that may begin to build up in us because of these things that go on in our life. And that word cease is the word rapha in Hebrew. And that word rapha means this. It means to let drop, to abandon, to relax, to refrain, to forsake, to let go, to refrain, to let alone, or to be quiet. Now, if you watched last week's message, and if you haven't watched last week's message or the other messages in this series, I really want to encourage you to go back and watch those because they all build. But last week we talked about the importance of being silent and being still before God when we're in the midst of storms and struggles and tribulations in our life. We need to be silent and be still and trust that He will come through for us and He will help us and get us through the situations that we're dealing with. And I want you to notice the similarity in this word cease to the word that I shared with you last week, be silent and be still, because I really like how it says we need to let it go and we need to let it drop. And so really what we could say is we need to let that anger go. We need to let it drop. And you know, a lot of times we go, oh, I just can't, you don't understand my situation, Tom. You don't understand why I'm angry and what these people did. And I know that there are things in this life that can offend us. I know that there are things in this life that happen to us that should not happen to us. But the way that we deal with that anger, the way that we deal with those things is so important, because if we allow bitterness, unforgiveness, anger to begin to build up in us, it will begin to control us and nothing good is going to come from that. And so we need to let those things go. And that anger oftentimes can be pushed in a couple different directions. And I want to talk just briefly about that. One of those directions that our anger can be pushed is our anger can be pushed toward God. And, you know, we don't like talking about this in the church. We don't, you know, I'd never be angry at God. But there are times in our life when we might be angry at God about situations that are happening. Maybe somebody has done you wrong and it seems like they're prospering and they're getting away with it and you're struggling and you're hurt and you want God to do something about that and it doesn't seem like He's doing anything. And maybe our anger just begins to, we're angry at God because He's not doing in our life what we want Him to do or what we feel like what He should be doing in our life. So we get angry with God. There was a Jewish prophet that lived many, many years ago, and he battled with this very same thing. His name was Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet who was called of God to go to a place called Nineveh and to preach a message of repentance that they needed to turn toward God. And if you've ever read this book that chronicles the life of Jonah, you may not catch this, but one thing you have to understand about the Ninevite people was that they were a very wicked people. They were murderous. They were violent. They were a horrible people. And so that was really just the truth. That's why God was sending Jonah to call them to repentance, because judgment was about to come on them because of their wickedness. But Jonah, he, instead of obeying God and going to preach to them, Jonah runs. And we know the story. He goes out in a boat and there's a great storm. He gets thrown over. He's swallowed by a fish. Ultimately, he repents and he's coughed up on the land. And he goes and he preaches to the Ninevite people. And they respond and they repent and they turn towards God. And you would think Jonah would be excited about that. You would think that Jonah would rejoice that God used him to bring a great revival to these people. But instead, Jonah got angry at God. He got angry at God because, in fact, there's a scripture in the book of Jonah, and it says, as Jonah is sort of lashing out at God, he says, I knew that you would be loving. I knew that you would be gracious and merciful. I knew that you would be slow to anger. And he's mad at God because of His grace and His mercy. And I look at that and I go, man, how can anybody be mad at God because of His awesome grace and the mercy and the love that He shows to us? How could you be mad at God about that? But Jonah is absolutely mad at God because he felt like those people should be judged. And so my question to you today is there a place in you, maybe just a little place that you don't like to talk about, where you get a little bit angry at God because He won't judge somebody for something that you hope that He doesn't judge you for? Like somebody does you wrong and you want God to bring His wrath down on them, but you would not want God to judge you for that very same thing that you probably do in your life as well. And so somebody does us wrong and down in there we're like, God, why don't you do something? Or something in our life isn't going the way that we want it to. And we go, God, why don't you do something about this? You could do something about this and you're not. And so I'm angry at you. And so we need to understand that we need to cease from that kind of anger. Now, what I want to say is there are times in our life when we may be angry at God. That's just reality in the world that we're living in, and that may happen. So I'm not saying it won't happen, but when it happens, we need to go to God. We need to talk to Him about it. We need to work. We need to listen to Him speak back to us. We need to get in His Word and find some understanding about what is going on in our life so that we can get past the anger, so that we can get back to that place where God is moving in our life again. Because that anger that we have towards God, if it's left unchecked, is going to cause us to be shaken in our faith. And when we're shaken in our faith, it's going to shake us in our life. And it begins to be a never-ending circle where our life is not going the way that we want it to go. Our life is not going the way God wants it to go. And we're just kind of struggling along. And so we've got to get past that anger. So if you're angry with God about something that's going on in your life, go to Him. Talk to Him about it. Bring it before Him and work it out with Him so that you can get past it, so you can get back on your faith and you can get back to that place where He wants you to be. The second place where we can push our anger is we only push it towards God, is we push it towards other people. And so we get angry at our husband, our wife. We get angry at our kids, our coworkers, maybe somebody in the church, maybe somebody that we know, our neighbors. We push our anger towards them because of something that happens between us and them. And that begins to cause, as that anger builds, it begins to turn into bitterness. And as that bitterness begins to build, it turns into that unforgiveness. And ultimately, the scripture says if we allow that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness to well up in us, it's going to break and bring a break in our relationship with God. And in fact, the Bible goes so far as to say, if we will not forgive others for what they've done to us, that God is not going to forgive us. And that's a tough scripture to really work through and ponder through. But the consequences of our unchecked anger are very severe. And so when we're dealing with our anger towards other people, we need to deal with that, whether it's between us and them, whether it's just in us. A lot of times we go, well, if I let go of my anger, then I'm letting that person off the hook. And I want you to know today, you're not really letting them off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook. And we'll talk a little bit more about the others here in a moment, but I want to say this. Really, when you choose to not live an angry life, a bitter life, an unforgiving life, when you choose to live that kind of lifestyle, it's not about letting someone else off the hook. It's about cutting yourself off from that thing that is going to cause bad things to begin to manifest in your life. And so really, forgiveness and letting go of our anger is more about us than it is about anybody else. It's about me choosing to live a life of peace and righteousness and holiness before God so that I can live right no matter what anybody else is doing. And so we have to drop it. As it says, the definition I gave you, we have to drop it, we have to let it go, and we have to trust that God is going to take care of us. Now, how do we do that? Because it's a lot easier to say these things, and we understand the verses, we understand it intellectually, but it's very difficult to do because our anger and unforgiveness and bitterness is an emotional thing. It's not an intellectual thing, it's an emotional thing. And so how do we practically walk that out in our life where we don't have to live a life of anger and fear? And so there's a couple things that I really want to say about that. Is first of all, we have to understand the temptation that comes with our anger. We have to understand the temptation that comes with our anger. We have to see the temptation. And so let's look at Psalm 37, verse 8 there. At the end of the verse, it says this. It says, forsake wrath and do not fret. It only causes harm. Let me read that again. Forsake wrath and do not fret. It only causes harm. Now we need to let that sink into us for a moment, that our anger, our wrath, and our fret will only cause harm. You know, as we look through the scriptures, it's littered with people who could not let their anger go, who could not let their bitterness go. And it begins in the very beginning with Cain and Abel. You know, Cain, as you know, the situation worked out between him and his brother, he wasn't capable of letting that anger go. I shouldn't say capable. He wasn't willing to let the anger towards his brother go. And ultimately, he murders his brother because of that anger. If you fast forward, we look at Moses, the great prophet Moses, who in his anger toward the people that were not listening to him, basically, he strikes a rock that God told him to speak to, and he loses his place in the promised land because of his anger. When we look at the apostle Peter had an angry streak in him, and there was this one incident where he pulls out a sword and he chops off a man's ear, and I really truly believe that he was trying to kill that man, and he missed and he hit his ear and he cuts his ear off because of his anger, because of the situation that was going on around him. And so we see all these stories in the Bible of the things that happened when people could not let go of their anger and the repercussions that came from that. Moses loses his place in the promised land. Peter is rebuked by Jesus because of that anger. And so we have to understand that our unchecked anger is only going to cause us harm. In fact, I want to say it this way. Unchecked anger is an open door to evil. Unchecked anger is an open door to evil. Now, again, I'm not talking about righteous anger, and I'm not talking about we never can get angry about anything, but when we do get angry about something, when we do have an offense about something, we need to go and deal with that quickly so that we can get that out of our life, because that anger will ultimately become a temptation, and that temptation will cause us to do something that is harmful and cause a sinful thing to happen in our life. And that can mean broken relationships. That can mean we fall into sin. We can fall into addictions because of our anger. And you know, addiction, many times addiction is not really about the addiction itself. It's about everything that happened that led to that addiction. And so if we don't check that anger in our lives, if we don't check that offense in our lives and deal with it and get it out of our life, reject that, forsake it, then ultimately it's going to cause harm to our life. And so if we have an angry and a discontented spirit, it's going to lead us straight into many, many temptations that can come our way. And I'm not going to go through all those because those are legion. The temptations, the sins that can come out of that anger that builds up in us. And so we understand we have to drop it. We have to let it go. Again, you should just say that with me. Drop it and let it go. That offense that you have, that anger that you have, let it go, because it will shake you in your faith. And it will ultimately harm your relationship with others, harm your relationship with God, and it will keep you from living the solid, purposeful life that God has designed for you to live. So we have to see the temptation. Now, what else do we have to do to deal with our anger? We have to not only see the temptation, but we have to center our focus. We have to center our focus. We don't want to focus on the thing that's making us angry. We don't want to focus on the offense or on the bitterness. We want to focus ourselves on what God is doing in the midst of those situations that are going on in our life. So how do we do that? First of all, we have to have some understanding. And to center our focus, we have to understand a couple things. First of all, we have to understand that evildoers will be cut off. In the context of Psalm 37, evil is prospering, the righteous seem to suffer, and there's a potential for anger that builds up because of that. But we have to understand this, that those that are doing evil, those that are causing harm, those that are doing you wrong, God is going to take care of those situations. Ultimately, if there's not a repentance that comes, God will bring judgment on those people. And so we have to understand that we need to put those things in God's hands. You know, the scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not our vengeance. It's not for us to try to deal with situations that are going on in our life. It's God who is going to take care of every person that is doing wrong. So what do we do with that? Do we rejoice in that? Do we say, well, I can't wait till God brings judgment on this person, or God brings judgment on my boss, or whatever it is? No, it's the exact opposite of that, because what scripture tells us, what Jesus told us, is that we don't rejoice in the judgment on evil people, but we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God would bring them back into a relationship with Him so that they can be saved, so that maybe our relationships can be mended at some point. And if that's not possible, at least they would not face the wrath of God, but they would face the salvation of God. And so we need to pray for them. We need to love them. You know, the scripture says, in fact, Jesus Himself said again, He said, we need to pray for those who do us wrong, and we need to love those that despitefully use us. We need to pray for them, love them. And so we have to have an understanding that God is going to deal with people that are evildoers. But at the same time, we don't want to rejoice in that. We want to pray for them that they could be restored. Now, again, maybe we may have trouble with that, just like Jonah did, because God wanted to restore the people of Nineveh, and Jonah was angry about that. And so really what you need to do, if you're not able to pray for somebody that has harmed you, you need to really check yourself and the things that are going on inside of you, because often that's more about you than it is about God. But that's another sermon for another day. But we need to understand that we need to drop it, we need to let it go, we need to center our focus, that God is going to take care of all of those who are doing evil in this world. He will take care of it for you. You don't have to take care of it for yourself. He can take care of it for you, and so you can drop it, you can let it go, you can center your focus on Jesus and what He's doing in your life. The second thing we need to understand that will help us to center our focus is not only to understand that evildoers will be cut off, as the scripture says there, but we need to understand that those who watch will win. Those who watch will win. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's look at our verse, Psalm 37, verse 9. Again, it says, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Last week, we talked about waiting. And that word waiting meant a lot of different things, you know, to dance, to suffer, to birth, to give dance, all those things we talked about in the message last week. Again, if you haven't looked at that, I want to encourage you to go back and take a look at that. But this word waiting this week, to wait, those who wait on the Lord, is a little bit of a different word. And that word wait is the word kava. And the word kava means this: to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect. And it's a participle that means waiting. Now, I'm not here to give you a grammar lesson today, but I do just want to say this, that the participle, that word participle represents an action or a condition in its unbroken continuity. So you're like, oh, good grief, what are you talking about, Tom? I just want to say this. The wait, those who wait on the Lord, it's a waiting. It's not that I waited on the Lord or that I wait on the Lord just now, but it's a continual waiting on the Lord. That I am always waiting in the Lord. When you look at that definition, to wait, to look for, to hope, to expect, it's a continuing process. That I'm always waiting on the Lord, that I'm always hoping in the Lord, that I'm always looking for the Lord to come through, that I'm always expecting that the Lord is going to work things out in my life. That it's a continual process. And he says, those who are continually waiting on the Lord, those that continually hope in the Lord, those that continually expect God to show up in the life, they are those who will inherit the earth. And so I want to encourage you in this today that you have that those who watch will win. If you are watching for the Lord, if you are waiting for the Lord to show up in your life, and you don't concern yourself with being angry and bitter and offended at other people, as again, it's the way our culture is today, but we need to be countercultural. Instead of living in the anger, the bitterness, and unforgiveness, we need to live in the waiting. We need to live in the hoping. We need to live in the expectation that God is going to show up, and live in the excitement that comes from our hope, that flows from our knowledge that God. So I need to center my focus on my hope. I need to center my focus on the fact that God is going to take care of me, that he will deal with other people, that I don't have to deal with him, that all I need to focus on is God and his plan for my life. And if I will do that, I will begin to live a life that is unshaken. And I want to say this as I begin to wrap up today, that those who wait on the Lord will gain and never lose through inheritance what evil men gained and forever lost through deviance. If we wait on the Lord, we will gain through our inheritance, because we're adopted into God's family, and because he treats us like sons and daughters, we will inherit the blessings of God in our life. Others are going to lose everything they have. Those that seem to be prospering in this world today will lose everything. Because of their deviance, they will lose everything, but you will gain an inheritance that will never be lost. If you will focus your attention on God, trust him. Don't live in the anger. Don't live in the bitterness. Don't live in the offense. Let it go. Drop it and put your hope and your expectation on God, because those who watch will win. Those who wait will win. And so Proverbs 13:22, the last thing I want to say to you, in Proverbs 13:22, it tells us that the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So you need to understand today that what other people seem to have that you seem to lack, and you might be bitter or offended because of that, when they prosper, when it seems like you struggle, understand this, that what God is building up in them, ultimately you are going to gain through inheritance, because he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you, because you are a son or a daughter of the living God, and he's going to be there for you, and he's going to bring you through. So if you understand that, if you understand that you are a son or a daughter of the King, and that he's going to take care of every situation, then you don't have to be angry about anything. You don't have to be offended. You ain't got to be worried about anything that anybody else is doing. You just have to be focused on your relationship with God. And if you will do that, you will live a life that is unshaken. And I want to encourage you to do that today. So as I wrap up today, let me say this. Thank you for joining me today again. As I do say every week, I don't take for granted that you're here. You could be doing many things, but you're here listening to me on the podcast, or you're here watching me on YouTube or on Facebook, and I really appreciate it. So thank you. If you like what you're hearing, please drop a comment in the box below. Let me know that you were here. It's great encouragement when you let me know you're here. And if you agree or you disagree with what I'm saying, let me know and let's talk about it. Please hit the click, the like button, the subscribe button, the share button. Help us get the word out that we can live a life that is unshaken in our God, the God that created the universe, that loves you and has called you a son and daughter. And so I appreciate when you hit the like, the subscribe button. Help us get that word out. Let me pray for you today. Father, thank you for everyone that's joining me. Lord, I know that anger is a reality in the world that we live in. There are so many things that we can be angry about. and we can be frustrated and offended about, but I just pray that you would help that everyone that's listening today, that may be listening on the podcast or watching online, somehow, God, that you would help them to take care of their anger. Maybe their anger is towards you today. And I pray that you would just speak to them and you would help them to work through it. And whether they're offended at you or they're offended at somebody else, God, let them learn how to drop it and let it go and to focus their attention on you, because that's where the blessing is. The anger only leads to harm, but the focus on you brings us into blessing. And we thank you for that today. Just bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, and thank you for being here again today at The Refuge.